Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, Enhanced ESB and BPM Solutions with Complex Data Transformation and Connectivity for System Z. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question and answer session. In this teleconference, you'll learn about the latest solution accelerators for financial services and insurance standards and WebSphere adapter support for WebSphere application server, all available on System Z. The speakers for today's teleconference are Dan Petrie, Product Manager, WebSphere Transformation Extender, and Colin P. Taylor, WebSphere Product Marketing Manager, Application Integration. At this time, I would like to hand it over to our first speaker, Colin Taylor.
Thank you. Welcome, everyone, to the webcast. The title of this session immediately suggests the question, you know, why might your enterprise service bus or business process management solution actually need enhancing in the areas of complex data transformation and connectivity? Our objective today is to examine how two complementary offerings from the IBM WebSphere portfolio can both accelerate solution delivery, reduce the pain of ongoing maintenance, and they're all supported on System Z. First, I'd like to address the connectivity question with you in the context of service-oriented architecture, or SOA, but it equally applies if you're not yet considering an SOA project but still need to access existing applications as part of an integration solution. Then I'll hand over to my colleague Dan to continue the discussion with respect to extending ESB and business process management products with a complementary offering for complex data transformation for both XML and traditional formats. We'll highlight new features in the latest releases of these complementary products as we go along. If you would turn to chart two, this illustrates the SOA solution stack. SOA, driven by business process management, creating and automating your business processes with services as the building blocks for implementing those business processes. The point of contention for complex integration is at the boundary between those new services, ideally using composite applications from your operational information systems and data stores. And my contention is that to be flexible to change, when you're reusing existing assets, you really need to optimize the integration phase. Manually integrating has become an IT bottleneck over the past few years, and the directions of both adapters and data transformation engines is to simplify this with graphical wizards to actually configure rather than code interfaces at the connectivity layer. If you imagine a vertical column through that chart for the System Z operating system, many of you are implementing B2B solutions on the ZOS mainframe. Now, B2B by definition means rarely do you have control over the partner's required integration needs, how they want to connect, and they may wish to use more traditional styles of integration. So you need the capabilities for file transfer, for email attachments to emails, and being able to process them as part of an automated B2B process, which can be choreographed by your business processes. In addition, B2B opens up the requirement to work within the framework of industry organizations and regulatory requirements, bodies that publish pre-formatted specifications, and more importantly, the guidelines to actually complete the filling of those specifications, creating the content, and ensuring the content is in the right format for onward distribution by an external messaging service, for example. So you have a wide range of requirements. Some partners will have XML support. Others will want it in record-orientated formats. And operational systems on your mainframe, you have COBOL applications, you have COBOL copybook formats to process, and an ESB enhanced with complex transformation and with adapters can deliver the flexibility of the IT system to ultimately deliver the business flexibility you need in this changing climate. Chart 3 takes us to the connectivity layer in the stack. The ESB delivers flexibility at the service level. It converts and transforms data, but there's still room for complementary products to actually extend the capabilities in your areas of adapting to the existing applications and transformation. We have products like WebSphere ESB, Java services, transforms XML with XSLT, handles the web content with ease, but XSLT requires script writing. WebSphere Message Broker advanced ESB, multiple transports, native support for connectivity solutions, and compute nodes for scripting with eSQL and Java. It handles XML and COBOL copybook transformations with ease. And WebSphere Process Server, the business process management process choreography solution, includes WebSphere ESB under the hood. But again, the ESB has no prior knowledge of operational systems, how you actually interact with an enterprise information system. And the more complex the data being transformed, the more lines of script or code needs to be managed, maintained at the cost of, you have flexibility, but at the cost of an increasing maintenance overhead as information gets more complex. Chart 4 is included for completeness. WebSphere MQ, it connects virtually any IT system, broad range of platforms and products. It's content agnostic and ideal where there is an existing WebSphere MQ client interface provided by the application. Chart 5, this is a statement basically when it comes to connectivity, WebSphere is pretty much unparalleled in terms of the connectivity provides. This time last year, we counted up all the native and adapters and connectors, connectivity solutions, and came to a figure, or we stopped anyway counting, at around 1,500 connectivity points. So we support the broadest range of transports, protocols, and data formats. WebSphere adapters are a small but significant part of this overall connectivity story. WebSphere adapters specifically have a consistent and open architecture based on the Java Connector Architecture Standard, JCA, and we bundle them with ESB offerings and BPM products and licensing them separately, the business application adapters, when they actually deployed. Chart 6 is a summary table of our support on System Z for the WebSphere adapters. The URL actually points to the definitive list of supported platforms and versions of the applications, and also covers the older version 6.0.2 adapters and previous ones still under support. As you can see, the latest innovation is the introduction of Red Hat and SUSE Linux support on System Z for the technology adapters and for selected business application adapters. WebSphere Integration Developer is the tooling for our process server and WebSphere ESB product offerings, and we bundle all of those adapters with WebSphere Integration Developer, and for unit testing and design, they're ready to use out of the box. No separate installation. WebSphere Application Server, we've just announced in December a selection of adapters, the business application adapters, to run with WebSphere Application Server version 6.1. Again, native technology is available for some of the other adapters, and so the actual WebSphere Application Server team didn't actually take or require those additional adapters for email and FTP. They already had solutions for those. Similarly, WebSphere Message Broker has announced adapters. That's an exciting announcement, and we'll go on to show you how they've implemented adapters to ease consumability for experienced designers of WebSphere Message Broker flows. And lastly, WebSphere Transformation Extender, the topic of the second half of this presentation, again, has taken selected adapters to enhance its adapters that it already had, and where some certain WebSphere adapters are deprecating. the existing adapters. Where there's native support, again, in the sense of flat files, the adapter is basically not taken and not required. Moving on to chart 7. So, when to use an adapter? Why would you want an adapter? So it's the preferred method of connectivity, we believe, when the application has a large number of interfaces, different choices of interfaces, and you need a single solution that can address those multiple interfaces. The latest enterprise information suites are being enabled with web services interfaces, but bear in mind, this may only cover a subset of the functionality exposed by other interfaces. You may need access to the data tier, and even when they are web service enabled, you may need to do multiple interactions with the application to actually deliver the information to a more coarse-grained business object or message structure to actually deliver the information required in the format required by those new service applications. Again, multiple versions. Many people have multiple versions of the same application in-house. You may need to derive information or query, you know, both applications or both versions, and an adapter can do this by encapsulating the integration logic and, again, minimizes the upgrading between versions for you. And customization. If the application is being modified and is evolving, the interfaces themselves will evolve to meet those same requirements. If you're manually coding those interfaces, that's a maintenance overhead and increases the IT spend on integration rather than new application development, whereas a metadata-driven adapter can be configured quickly and easily using graphical tools and without actually customizing the adapter technologies used under the hood. Slide 8. Here's SAP is an example of those arguments for an adapter, where it's the best approach to connectivity. It has BAPIs, IDOCs, it has a query interface. By using a wizard, we can actually discover the interfaces and generate interfaces rather than having to do the discovery manually and then actually code interfaces. Especially with large documents and the interfaces with several layers of hierarchy. Again, customization is a big thing with SAP. Very few documents are used as is out of the box. So again, you need to be able to quickly configure adapters to accommodate those changes. And again, you may need multiple BAPI calls into business relevant services. So what the adapter does is separate the integration logic from your application logic. It insulates you from how you connect and how many interactions you need to get to the information you need to satisfy a business service. Chart 9. Here describes the adapters for Webster Application Server. Now, here we would want to actually bundle the adapters with the tooling for Webster Application Server, Rational Application Developer, but we actually release these adapters in advance of the next release of the application server and its tools. So for current users of Webster Application Server version 6, again, on ZOS as well, we have released these with individual media until such time as we have an opportunity to bundle them with the tools, as we've done for the business process management side. Provides native interaction with the SAP PeopleSoft and Siebel. The WebSphere adapters technology is under the hood. That's the exciting thing. It's not exposed. We support WAS version 6.1, WAS ND, and WAS for ZOS. And as an aside, the SAP and JD Edwards Enterprise One support is available on System I. So we have adapters for WebSphere Application Server. We've broadened the number of platforms we're now supporting. Chart 10 We introduced adapters for ESB and process server in our 6.02 release, and we've enhanced them with version 6.1. Again, JCA-based, included inside the tools, with seamless integration using the Discovery Wizards. Again, you have full licenses for the technology adapters, flat file, FTP, JDBC, email. For our business adapters, we do require a separate license when deploying them to the runtime. So Chapter 11 is just goes a little bit more detail on what happens under the hood with the Discovery Wizards. We're using an enterprise metadata discovery, a plugin. EMD is a specification for rich tooling to actually enable browsing of the functions and interfaces and even the data tier exposed by the enterprise information system. Now, the user, the designer, selects the entities of interest, presses a button, it generates the interfaces between the service and the adapter and packages them for deployment. Chart 12, Message Broker. This is the exciting one. Message Broker 6.1 introduces a new concept of adapter nodes. Essentially, the adapter is under the hood. It's not exposed to the actual developer. It's presented as a node, just like any other node on the palette of the Message Broker tools. So the designer does not have to learn enough about the adapter as you would if you were using our older style adapters. So the new generation of adapters, we want you to drag onto the message flow, you click on the icon, and you then bring up the adapter wizard for Message Broker. From the tools, you're connecting to the EIS system. Message Broker supports bi-directional interaction. You see there the PeopleSoft input and the PeopleSoft request on the SAP input and the SAP request nodes. The input node handles inbound events, and the request node handles request replies initiated from the broker itself. At the Message Broker interface, it generates an XML representation, a message definition, and then that definition can be enriched and processed downstream by additional nodes in the message flow. Chart 13 is a little build slide of five steps if you'd like to just step through. The first step shows we have the adapter connector wizard, you know, generating the flow in the message broker tools. It talks to the EIS. It generates an adapter component and a message set definition. Those two and the message flow are actually packaged together and automatically deployed with the message flow to the broker runtime. Chart 14. This is a summary of the four stages for adapters for Message Broker and equally applicable to the process server and Web3 ESB. You have the discovery phase, using tools, using the wizards. You're looking at the records, the BAPIs for SAP, and you're creating the component interfaces to access the EI system. The development phase, well, this would be standard practice using the tools of the Message Broker and Process Server and ESB. You're creating message flows or business processes or service provider applications in Application Server, which makes use of the discovered components. There is one manual stage, the enablement stage. Some adapters, for example SAP, actually use libraries provided by the vendor. And if you have those applications, you have access to those libraries, and they need to be located with the runtime. Administration, then, you're using the console of the host product to stop-start adapters. And you can deploy all the required components, for example, from the WebSphere console used with the BPM and ESB products. Chart 15. Okay, I'm summarizing the business values for you. We're talking about adapter connection wizardry. This is going to reduce time to delivery of solutions. it not only going to deliver the initial solution, but it's going to actually reduce the costs of maintaining interfaces and new interfaces, and basically give you the agility you need to support your business. You're going to see a return on investment from both adapters by reusing them as new business applications are developed within the enterprise information suites. And differentiating us from our competition, one instance of an adapter can connect to multiple EIS instances under the license terms. And also, both technically and from a license perspective, you can connect multiple applications, ignore the EJB there, to a single EIS instance. So this was something that was not available in the previous 6.0 release and now is available with 6.1 release. So you can connect from one application to multiple EISs or a single EIS with multiple connections. So business values, your business is going to see time to market improve for new solutions. You're going to see fewer IT backlogs. Rather than coding and recoding applications and the integration of the interfaces, you're going to spend more time on application development, and you're going to see an ongoing return on investment. At this point, I'd like to hand over to my colleague Dan to take you through the second half of this presentation to look at complex data integration.
Well, thank you, Colin. This is Dan Petrie speaking. I am the product manager for WebSphere Transformation Extender. So what I'm going to talk to you today about is transformation within the WebSphere platform. And specifically here, we're talking about WebSphere Transformation Extender being a universal transformation that describes and transforms pretty much any type of data that you can imagine. So you can see here in this slide, what we're talking about on slide 16 is the ability to handle complex data structures inside of regulatory environments, inside of critical business initiatives. And we do that within the Transformation Extender product inside of standalone environments or within other WebSphere products as well. So we can see WebSphere Application Server, Process Server, Message Broker, and WebSphere ESB listed here. So we have many opportunities to create transformations and use them universally across the WebSphere platform. Moving to slide 17, this really ties back to what Colin was speaking about earlier inside of the WebSphere adapters. We can see highlighted in the bullets adapters that TX has started to use from a WebSphere adapter perspective. So we have an email adapter and FTP adapter that have been released in December of 2007 that are now WebSphere adapters. These complement the existing portfolio of connectivity options that exist within the TX platform. To note, inside of the ZOS environment, we see the connectivity there for sequential files and VSAM, also DB2, MQ, and FTP that are of note. One last note, I guess, on the WebSphere adapter side, we also have the adapters that are provided for SAP, PeopleSoft, and Siebel, as they're listed at the bottom of this chart. Moving to slide 18, we can see that the main challenge within integration is dealing with complex data formats. And here inside of this slide, we see formats that are binary, stream data, EBCDIC, COBOL copybooks, and the need to transform them to multiple data types. It is truly a multi-format, multi-version world out there. There is no single version of anything that you need to use. There's multiple versions in all instances. And this complexity is something that is solved by the WebSphere Transformation Extender product. So moving on to slide 19, we see one example of this, and this is EDI. EDI data by itself is a definition of complex data. It is a very complex looping structure, and it is something that is widely used in the EDI industry today, electronic commerce. EDI by itself is an industry standard that has been used for many years, and it is continuing to be used. It's evolving into the Internet as well to be used EDI over the Internet. And so this complexity of data is something that has existed in the past and will exist in the future. Moving to slide 20, we see the example here digging a little deeper into the EDI packs, the solutions that we have. So EDI packs are examples of our industry plays that we have today. Inside of the EDI packs, we provide a subset of type trees, which is our data dictionary-like representation of sources and targets. So we can see here that we have the ability to handle not just these complex data structures and the validation of this data, but we can handle any type of version, any document type within the EDI standards. the important part to note with any of these packs, and EDI specifically, is that we keep the standard up to date. So when 2007 rolled around, we introduced an update to the X12 and EDIFACT packs that enabled us to deliver to our customers an updated version of the standard, allowing them to have integration for the latest versions of X12 and EDIFACT. So moving to slide 21, we see another example of an industry play. And in this example here, we're talking about healthcare. And healthcare, specifically in the U.S., is a very complex data standard that exists in a regulated environment. Healthcare providers need to maintain the standard and deal with this data transformation. So over the years, the WebSphere Transformation Extender product has demonstrated a very large return on investment inside of the healthcare sector to enable those customers to deliver quick time-to-market integration solutions around our industry plays, and specifically the healthcare packs that we provide. And in the TX environment, we provide the HL7, HIPAA, and NCPDP packs. Moving to slide 22, we're speaking here of a different type of pack, and these are the enterprise application packs. Enterprise application packs deal with connectivity to ERP systems, CRM systems, enterprise payment platforms, business warehouses, data marts. They'll deal with the connectivity to your legacy systems and other applications that you're dealing with. So these packs minimize the need for specific application knowledge of these enterprise applications. So the customers don't need to be deep technical experts in SAP or the coding language that's behind it, such as ABAP in this example. So what these packs provide is the ability to deliver integration solutions in a much more timely fashion. The packs provide the ability to understand the data structures inside of these enterprise applications as well as connect at runtime to these enterprise applications. Moving to slide 23, switching back to the industry packs, we can see listed on the right-hand side the key industries that we target with the WebSphere Transformation Extender industry packs. We're dealing with the insurance sector, healthcare, financial services, and electronic commerce. So we have pre-built out-of-the-box validations, metadata standards, and sample maps that are provided for all of these. So these templates that we provide really accelerate the time to delivery for any industry solutions that are being built within any organization. It's a very strong statement that we can provide to our customers, allowing them to reduce the time to delivery as well as maintaining a single skill set across their entire organization, no matter which industry sector they're dealing with. The main thing that we deliver with these packs in the bottom bullet is the point of reducing maintenance in the long term. They don't need to concern themselves with when a new version of a standard comes out. IBM provides that for them. They don't have to deal with the latest HIPAA 5010 standard. It's something that IBM delivers and provides out of the box with the latest release of the packs. We also help with the latest trend of migrating very complex legacy data types into XML. So these insurance plays that we have can greatly assist all of our customers inside of these specific industries. Moving to slide 24, what we're going to start talking about here are the new industry plays that we've provided in the recent past. Starting here with Accord. And Accord was introduced in December 2007 specifically to tackle the insurance industry. And here we have the ability to manage data types for life and annuity, and we can see the versions that are listed here under that bullet, as well as the property and casualty surety standards that are provided. So the 1.x versions are supported currently inside of the packs. So these are very much the new XML-based standard for Accord in the insurance industry. The real important thing is there's a lot of customers out there who are still dealing with the legacy formats that are more tag value type of data standards. And this is the AL3 data type. And we as well inside of the Accord pack provide these sample data structures and sample maps to enable our customers to migrate from that legacy format into the new XML world. And this is a real strong statement, allowing our customers to get there very easily and having the ability to migrate from something that's legacy, getting into that new world today. Moving to slide 25, we can see an example of the AL3 format. It is a very complex data structure that has a lot of different data inside of it that is not very easily human readable. The TX Pack, of course, provides that ability to take this and bring it to something that's a lot more readable, which we'll see on slide 26. Slide 26 shows an example of the Accord XML standards, and we can see the property and casualty and surety standard listed on the left and the life insurance standard listed on the right. We can see it is an XML standard. It's much easier to understand, but still not something that somebody wants to code around. And the TX Pack for Accord will provide the ability to be able to manage both that complex legacy structure, the AL3 on the previous slide, and these new XML structures that we're showing here on slide 26. Moving to slide 27, we see here we're talking about SEPA. So the SEPA pack was introduced in June of 2007 with an enhancement released in December of 2007. SEPA stands for Single Euro Payments Area. SEPA is a mandatory requirement for the European Union to standardize on cross-border electronic payments within the euro currency. So what the WebSphere TX pack for SEPA provides is that ability to mediate between existing applications and the SEPA message formats that we're dealing with. So in the bottom, we can see examples of this, which are SWIFT payments, local country domestic formats, internal applications, whether they're on the mainframe or in Unix environments, it doesn't really matter, internal extended SWIFT formats and domestic formats. And that's a very common thing for customers to do, and we've seen that in many situations where they've taken existing SWIFT standards and existing domestic format standards and manipulated them for their own use. So we provide the formats for these SWIFT payments and these domestic formats and the ability to maintain them in the long run and extend them as needed. And we have the ability to transform those formats to the SEPA formats and vice versa. The last thing I'd like to note is that SEPA in itself has very large XML schemas, and these XML schemas cause problems for many of our customers. These large data structures that they need to integrate can cause many different products to break. The TX product provides the ability to manage those large data structures, break them down into manageable pieces, and deliver the transformation capabilities for a SEPA environment. Moving to slide 28, we can see the new pack for NACHA. NACHA is the National Automated Clearinghouse Association, and this pack was delivered in December of 2007. NACHA itself is really not a new format. It's been around for a while, but it is starting to get more recognition. It's being more widely used today. What we provide inside of the NACHA pack today is the ability to support Automated Clearinghouse, or ACH, 2007 compliant messages. And that is a very important point for our customers. They need to understand that we're up to date with the latest standard and provide that capability to manage those data structures out of the box. Moving to slide 29, we can see here what we're talking about is a new pack that's going to be delivered in the first quarter of 2008, which is our pack for FIX, the Financial Exchange Protocol. So this new pack for FIX is providing the ability to manage both tag-based data and XML-based data for the FIX protocol. And again, it's a very strong industry standard in the financial services industry. And we can see down at the bottom the listings of the different data types that we deal with, the different versions of the FIX standard. So we're dealing with FIXML, which is the XML version, and the standard FIX formats, the tag value base. And you can see the versions that we support at the bottom of the slide. Moving to slide 30, we can see here a list of our supported environments that TX will run. And what I want to note here, inside of our 8.2 release, we've come out with 64-bit tolerance, meaning that we can operate inside of 64-bit operating systems that are listed here. And another point to note is the Linux on Systems Ed that was introduced in the 8.2 timeframe as well. Of course, also noting on the left-hand side, we've always had support for the ZOS environment, enabling integration in batch, USS, IMS, and KIX environments. And that's a very strong point to note. The TX product runs standalone inside of all of those environments and provides integration with other products in those environments as well. Moving on to slide 31, here we're talking about other features that were released in December timeframe with our 8.2 release, which is the Design Studio. With the Design Studio, we provided a new Eclipse-based tooling, giving it a new look and feel. And what you're seeing here on this slide is a screenshot of the Map Designer. The key point here with the Eclipse-based tooling for WebSphere Transformation Extender is the ability to seamlessly integrate with the other tools inside of WebSphere. This means we can run the Design Studio within WebSphere Integration Developer, or WID, or within the WebSphere Message Broker Toolkit. So it provides seamless integration, enabling our customers not to notice a difference if they're moving from Message Broker, for example, into the Design Studio for the Transformation Extender. Moving to slide 32, we see here a slide shot of the Type Designer. And again, it's a new look and feel for the Type Designer that's all completely integrated, giving you the ability to switch back and forth between the view of our metadata definitions, the type trees, and the maps themselves. Moving to slide 33, we have highlighted some of the features that came out in the 8.2 release. The first point is talking about native support for XML schemas, and this is a very key feature for us in that there's no longer the need to import in a schema. We can just natively work with it, and it provides the ability to tie in directly with them, thereby reducing problems with the integrations that customers build. We've also added restart and reject logic to those XML trees. The next bullet is talking about schema locations for cards. It really allows you to specify that location of your schemas. You can find them whether it's on a file or a URL. And lastly, we have schema validation on a per-card basis, so it provides the ability to validate each input separately as desired. So moving to slide 34, we can see here an example of how XML schemas are used within the new Design Studio. If you have it in presentation mode, you'll be able to see the screenshots being shown in correlation with the bullets on the left-hand side. So it starts off with creating a map and showing you that you're simply selecting a map source, then creating a card, so you're adding here an input into your map. Going to the next step, you choose a schema, and you go out and select an XSD file that exists to point to an existing XML schema. Then you choose the root of that schema that you're dealing with, and the next step is going to bring it into the Design Studio, and you'll see that the XML schema now looks pretty much like a type tree, and there's no difference between if you had imported it in a previous version and used the XML schema directly in the 8.2 version. And the nice part of it is that the XML schemas, of course, can be used on the source and the targets, so you have the ability to bring in those XML schemas directly without the need to input, eliminating a step in the development effort, and thereby reducing time for your transformations. Moving to slide 35, here we're talking about WebSphere Transformation Extender for integration servers. This product was released in 2007, and prior to that, there was a product called WebSphere Transformation Extender for Message Broker, which has been rolled into this product, WebSphere Transformation Extender for integration servers. So this WTX for integration servers contains two extenders, one for Message Broker and the other for Process Server and ESB. The Message Broker extender contains a node for using TX transformations within the message flows, as well as a parser that enables you to parse data of any type and allows you to call directly down into the Design Studio from the Message Broker toolkit. On the Process Server WebSphere ESB side, it allows you to select TX as a data binding inside of JMS, MQ, HTTP, or EIS on both import or export side. So in essence, what we're talking about is transformation on the edges inside of your Process Server ESB solutions. And of course, the tooling also integrates with WID, as I had mentioned earlier, making it seem very seamless to our customers when they're doing transformations within these environments. Moving to slide 36, this is a nice little summary of the environments that we're dealing with inside of the WebSphere portfolio. And specifically with System Z, we're dealing with WebSphere Application Server, WebSphere ESB, Process Server, Message Broker, and a lot of native capabilities to be able to do integration inside of these environments. And I should also note that we have the ability to integrate with WebSphere Business Services Fabric through the Process Server product. So we have the ability to integrate through all of these environments, whether they're native standalone environments inside of the ZOS environment or through any of the other products. And the key point to note is that you're building the same transformations that can be leveraged across these environments. And that's a very important thing for our customers. Moving to slide 37, here's a nice summary of the capabilities that WebSphere Transformation Extender provides. And they're key bullets to bring forward to our customer base. That is the ability to build transformations in a code-free environment. There's no language that you need to know. You don't have to write procedural code to develop transformations. It is simply a GUI drag and drop type of an environment with the ability to pick functions off of a list. We also have self-describing data models, the ability to understand and maintain data in its native format, never losing the context of the data. And that is a real key point for the WebSphere Transformation Extender product, never losing the understanding of the data. The next piece is the data validation as part of the transformation process. As soon as you do any transformations within the Transformation Extender product, you automatically validate the data. And our customers have the ability to maintain and manage any of the validation logic that they need to inside of their transformation processes, giving them the ability to control what data is deemed valid or invalid and processing both of those types of data separately as needed. The next bullet talks about the high throughput nature of the WebSphere Transformation Extender product. WebSphere Transformation Extender's unique many-to-many model of transforming data provides the ability to manage these many data types in a single pass of the data. There's no need to go and read the data multiple times. It's a single pass of all the data and then a single creation of all the outputs that are required. And the last bullet is, I think, one that's very important. One engine with multiple deployment options. It's a very mature product. It's been around many, many years. And we've provided the ability to create a transformation and deploy that in the distributed environment and also deploy it on Zed. So you can take the same transformations and use them in multiple environments. Moving to slide 38, we can see here the business value that's listed for our customers. And breaking down between IT and business, we see in the IT world, we're really focusing here on reduced time and cost. That is a very large concern of our customers inside of the IT space. It's that ability to develop and maintain integrations at a very low cost. TX provides that ability by providing industry packs out of the box and those automatic updates, by providing the ability to maintain logic without having to dig through lines and lines of code. It really allows skill set reuse across an entire IT organization and the ability to develop these integrations very quickly. From a business perspective, really you can see what that's going to provide is this real fast time to market, the ability to be agile and provide integration solutions very quickly. And that is a key thing in the business world today, especially when you get into that third bullet inside of regulatory environments where there's specific deadlines that you need to have integration solutions built by specific regulated deadlines. The last couple of bullets here, talking about SLAs with trading partners. We have a lot of integrations that our customers do with trading partners, and there's SLAs assigned with that. We help meet those. And I think probably the most important one for our customers is the ability to show that we have a very large return on investment year after year with the product. We have proven it many, many times, and the product simply provides transformation solutions in a much faster way than any other product in the market. Summing it all up, it's really providing IT agility in order to deliver your business agility. Moving to slide 39, I'd just like to say thank you to all for listening, and I'm going to turn it back over to the operator for questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Colin and Dan. Now we would like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we will have a live question and answer session with the presenters. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. Our first question, please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. If it was low, press star 3. And we will pause for just a moment to assemble all of your responses. Was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference? If it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. If it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3, and we'll pause again. Question 3, are you currently considering WTX for complex data transformations with one of the following? If IBM WebSphere message broker customer, press star 1. If IBM WebSphere application server, press star 2. If IBM WebSphere process server or WebSphere ESB, press star 3. If IBM WebSphere partner gateway, press star 4. If CICS or IMS, press star 5. If standalone, press star 6. And we'll pause for just a moment. Fourth question today, which industry standard formats are most relevant to your business? If banking, finance, press star 1. If healthcare or insurance, press star 2. If using EDI in another industry, star 3. If not using industry standard formats, press star 4. And we'll pause for just a moment. Question 5, are you currently using IBM WebSphere adapters? If yes, press star 1. And if no, press star 2. We'll pause for just a moment. Final question today. We do hope you have enjoyed the teleconference. Please let us know if you are interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1, and if no, press star 2, and we'll pause for just a moment. That does conclude our survey for today. Thank you all for your participation. Now we would like to move to your questions. To ask your question today, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your touch-tone telephone at any time. At this time, I will turn the conference over to our speakers while we wait for any questions.
Welcome, everyone. My name is Colin Taylor, Marketing Manager for WebSphere Transformation Extender and Adapters, and unfortunately, Dan is not available for questions, so we have Kimberly Giroux, our worldwide technical sales leader for WebSphere Transformation Extender, with me, and with a lot of knowledge of implementing WebSphere Transformation Extender on System Z.
And at this time, there are no questions, but once again, everyone, please press star 1 now if you have a question. And there appear to be no questions. And Mr. Taylor, did you have any closing remarks?
looking to do. I'm just going to wait a few seconds more just in case there are any questions.
Absolutely. And once again, everyone, it is star one to ask a question.
So, concluding remarks then. The basic message from this webcast is in effect the availability of sophisticated WebSphere adapters and the universal transformation and content validation capabilities of the WebSphere Transformation Extender complementing an SOA implementation with other products in the WebSphere portfolio. So if you're thinking business process management, choreographing of business processes, think WebSphere Transformation Extender and adapters as part of that solution. If you're at the stage of implementing an enterprise service bus with Message Broker or with WebSphere ESB, both are available on System Z, and both have bindings ready to use with WebSphere Transformation Extender. And that's why we've introduced the Integration Servers Edition, so that you have two extenders in one for both ESB and Business Process Management solutions. Again, with WebSphere Transformation Extender, it can be used in real-time event processing and batch window processing. And the industry packs really do accelerate time to market for initial solutions, but then have a multiplier effect on the investment and the return on investment as you need to change applications, as you need to meet new business requirements. So I urge you to seek more information, and we'd be happy to deliver it. So if there are no more questions or no questions, I'll turn it over to the...
And so there are still no questions. And that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you all for your participation, and have a great day.